You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I have a take in the hopper, Tim, that I've let marinate for an extra week. I was thinking about putting it in my top 10 tidbits article, but I let it sit for an extra week. Is healthy Bradley Beal one of the best, maybe the best Wizard player instead of John Wall?
No, not yet. It's not a terrible take, but I feel like John Wall's got that two-way thing going for him. Bradley Beal's a great offensive player, not quite good enough on defense for me to make that type of claim.
Yeah, his defense is pretty bad, and this is a take that would destroy my take over the summer that having John Wall is one of the best. I list him as one of the best point guards in the NBA, and now he might get passed up over the next season or two if Bradley Beal can stay healthy. But we've just never seen Bradley Beal hit this elite level of play consistently for more than, 30-40 games? He's just never been healthy that long. But knock on wood, now that he is and now that he's staying that healthy and he keeps hitting that ceiling and kind of surpassing where he was, it's been really impressive and really fun watching him.
Oh, man, he's been one of my favorite players since he was a youngster. And I remember sort of wanting him when he was coming out of the draft. I know the Wolves weren't even close, but I mean, he had a little bit of a rough stretch before this game. He had 3 of 4 games where he shot under 50%, but man, he really busted out against Portland last night. And even so, I mean, it was a pretty close game up until the end there, but when they really pulled away. But yeah, he was incredible last night.
Yeah, they really didn't need just about all of his 51 points to put that one away, because the Portland Trailblazers kept hanging around, and they have some pretty solid players themselves with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. But yeah, it's fun. The reason I bring it up is just because of the 51 point game he had last night. But he is so much fun to watch, and his shot might be one of the more pretty ones. I think once he's done with his career, we'll go back and look and compare his shot to those of guys like a Ray Allen.
Sure, yeah. I mean, Ray Allen comparisons have been there since he was in college. That's definitely what people saw as his ceiling coming out. Ray Allen's a Hall of Famer, so it's never fair to compare a guy to a Hall of Famer, because those are lofty expectations. But he's a great player, and I think he could be an all-star at the very least in the future.
Absolutely. So now turning more to maybe some more relevant topics. The Timberwolves do play a game tonight. They play the Clippers again. They play them on Sunday, and they had some trouble with the Clippers' three-point shooting. We talked about this earlier in the week, and I wanted to touch on it again just because the Clippers knocked down 15 three-point shots, and that's why I wanted to jump on right away today talking about Clippers versus Timberwolves tonight is the three-point shooting. They will be in L.A. There'll be a road game for the Timberwolves. And do you think that the Clippers will be able to reach something like they did against the Timberwolves in the first game? Do you think they'll be able to have as good of a shooting night? Or do you think that was more of a they caught lightning in a bottle one time and now it'll be back to the Austin Rivers we're used to seeing, and the offense will be reduced to Lou Williams trying to jack up shots? What do you expect to see from the perimeter defense from the Timberwolves tonight?
Well, I mean, you just touched on it. Austin Rivers had 7 threes in that game. He was 7 of 8 from three. That was probably the best game of his career, offensively shooting the ball. So he made up for nearly half of the team's three-pointers. And, I like Austin Rivers, and frankly, I had major expectations for him coming out of high school, because I totally drank the high school mixtape Kool-Aid when I watched his mixtape. But he's not that good of a player offensively. He's a decent two-way player, and he's a good player. He's definitely an NBA player. He's not a guy that's going to make 7 threes. I could see him never making 7 threes again in his career. And with that said, if he's not making those shots, I don't know who is. If you watch the game, Colton, the starting lineup consists of Austin Rivers, DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Johnson, and then two-way contracts, one of whom was a cut guy, C.J. Williams, from the Timberwolves Summer League roster. It's not a good team, and the fact that Wesley Johnson's in that starting lineup, I think, is really telling. Austin Rivers being in the starting lineup says a lot. I mean, it's just, I feel bad for DeAndre Jordan, frankly.
It's definitely will probably go down as maybe one of the more sketchy just starting fives. And I know they have the injuries and everything like that, but it is just a strange team that they're putting on the court these days just because of injuries. And so that alone gives, I think should give Timberwolves fans confidence just because they're playing a bunch of guys who are just over their head as far from a talent standpoint.
Sorry, hold on. I'm responding to an angry tweeter.
There are a lot of those these days.
Man, there are so many. Okay, can you repeat the question one more time?
I'm just saying, I know that at this point, with what we've seen from the Timberwolves, it seems kind of like a foolhardy thing to go in with to a game with a ton of confidence, but just because the talent pool is so different and they seem to be almost somewhat over their head in talent, that this should be another win for the Timberwolves. I know the first one was close, 112-106, but this should be another win for the Timberwolves just because of that talent differential.
Yeah, if anything, they should hopefully have learned from not just that game, but the following game that they lost to Memphis as sort of it says a lot. They're not there yet. And the fact that they're 14-11 is great. They're on pace to win 46 games. I think people expected that. That's all good. Things aren't dire, but they definitely have some kinks that they need to work out. And these last two games have really been evident. I do want to point out, too, that was their second back-to-back in the span of a week. So, I mean, that does a lot to a team's fatigue. And then you throw on the fact that Tom Thibodeau is, you know, he's famous for throwing guys out there for way too long, and that could be adding to it. So hopefully it's only a day off, but hopefully this day off made a difference.
You bring up the back-to-back, and it leads into something I wanted to discuss and get your take on. I was listening to a podcast, the basketball podcast from the Ringer website, and one of the...
I hear they're good. Hear they're good.
You know what? They're doing some good things over there, is what I'm told.
Yeah.
One of the takes that they had was the minutes that the starters are getting, especially in back-to-back scenarios like they had this week, is borderline fireable offense, is the take they had. Now, I'm not saying I agree with it, but I think it is interesting to hear when other reporters and just when people are talking about the Timberwolves, when other people who don't follow the Timberwolves regularly at game in and game out take a look in at what the Timberwolves are doing and to hear what they think of the team. What's your reaction when people are talking about how it's a borderline fireable offense to put Thibodeau on the chopping block when they're looking at the minutes that the starters are getting? Even with his reputation, they still have that reaction. What's your take on that kind of thinking around the Timberwolves?
I mean, they knew what they were getting into when they hired him. That's really what it comes down to for me. I mean, if you found that strategy fireable beforehand, sure, it's still fireable. I assume they had that thought beforehand, but it's something that I'll put it this way. When Tibbs was asked recently about how the bench can earn more minutes, his answer was they need to play better. It's hard for me to sit there and hear that and then look at what Tyus Jones did as a starter, look what Nemanja Bjelica has done off the bench, granted he's hurt right now, and think, okay, they need to play better than what they're playing to get more minutes because they both played really well. So I don't think it's a fireable offense because they knew what they were getting into. I don't necessarily agree with what Tibbs is doing, though, I guess is what it comes down to for me.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things, too, where it's hard to prove yourself worthy of getting more minutes if you're not getting the minutes to prove yourself, you know, kind of one,
yeah,
of
exactly.
Those things.
Yep.
And just looking at minutes, it is staggering just having three guys in the top 20 in minutes, two guys in the top 10 with Wiggins and Jimmy Butler in minutes per game. I think that it'll be something that maybe will either go away with wins or with losses. I think people will bring up more. I think that's one of the smaller problems that gets fixed with wins or losses. But it is interesting to see that people from the outside of kind of the city and the state of Minnesota looking in, this is kind of an area of concern that the Thibodeau could potentially run guys like. I mean, Taj Gibson he's an older vet and he's playing heavy amounts of minutes. You have younger guys like Towns and Wiggins who are playing huge amounts of minutes, and then you have, like you're saying, guys like Tyus Jones who are not playing a ton of minutes, and when they've come off the bench with an actual bulk of minutes, they've looked really good. It's definitely a storyline to watch, but like you're saying, and kind of like the article you wrote, it's too early to hit the panic button yet.
Yeah, and I wrote in that article, not only do they have two guys in the top 10, all five guys fall in the top 40 in minutes per game, which basically means they don't have a single bench guy that earns big minutes for them. They have four guys in the top 30. Gibson is something like, I think Gibson's the one that barely hits the top 30, and then Jeff Teague's like 39th in the league or something like that. So they're all in the top 40. They have no bench guys that really earn a bunch of minutes.
No, yeah. And yeah, it's an interesting, looking right now, 38 for Taj Gibson. They're all right there. And it will be interesting to see what kind of effect that has, especially if you're a playoff team going in and you know, as the other team knows, that this team is kind of, you can kind of exhaust them over the course of a series because of the minute load. It'll be interesting. Zeroing in on tonight's game against the Clippers, do you think that the Timberwolves learn enough from the last couple of days? It's been an interesting couple of days for the Timberwolves, just with a close game to a down Clippers team and then the loss to a Grizzlies team that should be a game that the Timberwolves win. Do you think they learn enough to where they don't need a 20-point fourth quarter from Jimmy Butler to lift over the Clippers, or are you just happy with whatever it takes to get them a win?
Well, I mean, whatever gets them a win, but it shouldn't take 20 points from Jimmy Butler to beat this Clippers team. It's really that simple. So I'd love to see the Timberwolves actually manage a big win against a bad team. They've done it before. They beat Dallas by a lot. They beat Charlotte without Batum by a lot. They beat New Orleans post-Anthony Davis freakout by quite a bit. It happens. They know how to beat teams by a lot. It's just a matter of doing it. And I would love to see it just for the simple fact that the starters need a break. And unfortunately, if they really want a break, it looks like they're going to have to build a big lead and force Tibbs to throw guys like Aldridge, Brooks, and Marcus Georges on in the game. So we'll see. Apparently, Nemanja Bjelica flew to L.A., so I'm interested to see if he ends up playing this game too. But regardless, it would be great to see them win by a lot, because that's what they're supposed to do.
And we will get into more of the matchups and everything like that headed into tonight's game against the Clippers after this. All right, so now they're playing the Clippers. They played them on Sunday, like we talked about. Going into this game, who are a couple players you're specifically watching? You mentioned Bjelica. Is he somebody who, if he does play, if he early on is knocking down shots, do you think there's maybe a slight chance he could get some more minutes and give those starters some rest and maybe be one of those guys who gets a little bit more rotation time? Or do you think the course of the week is just giving the starters heavy amounts of minutes and that's the way it's going to be throughout the entire week?
It's hard for me to see Bjelica getting a lot of minutes coming off a foot injury that's kept him out for as long as he's been out. But, I mean, if he's playing well, Tibbs should play him, but even when players play well, Tibbs hasn't always played the bench. There have been games where Tyus Jones has outplayed Jeff Teague. It doesn't happen often, but it's happened. The only time I can remember him actually playing Tyus over Teague was in the first game of the season against San Antonio. So we'll see, but just in regards to who I'm really looking to see, I want to see how Karl Anthony Towns responds to maybe the worst defensive performance of his career, or at least of the season, the last time they played the Clippers. Ooh, excuse me. If you remember, the rim was pretty much left unattended a lot of the time, and I know that basketball, as Dane Moore would say, is played on a string, but it's it was always Towns. Towns always seemed to be the root of the problem. DeAndre Jordan was left open for dunks. The following game against OKC, Jeremy Grant was left open for dunks. So it's been a couple games in a row of it. And I just want to see how he responds, because I've seen him have good defensive games. We talked last week about the Wizards game where they had lost to the John Wall feature, or the John Wall-less Wizards, and it was one of Cat's best defensive performances I've ever seen. So I'm not sure what we're going to get from him, but I have a feeling he's going to be focused in on this one.
It's really interesting seeing Wiggins and Towns and their development kind of side by side. I know Wiggins has been in the league just a little longer than Towns, but overall, your assessment of Cat going through the first, what are we up to now, 25 games, through the first 25 games of the season, is he kind of on track of where you expected him to be? Is he a little behind schedule? Where, just as far as where we hoped that he would be in his development, where do you think he stands right now, 25 games in?
I mean, it's important always, and I've talked about this on Wolves Wired a lot. It's hard, I'm overly harsh on Cat, and I like to remind people when I do talk on these podcasts that Karl Anthony Towns is an unbelievably good basketball player. He's just turned 22, and he's going to be an all-star for many years. He's probably going to be the best player on this team going forward. At some point, he's going to surpass Butler. Right now, I think he's behind the curve on defense. Wiggins is a little bit more on track, but I've also said Wiggins has an extra year of experience to work with. And frankly, I know Wiggins is guarded the other team's best perimeter player, but when you're the primary defender in the paint, which despite having Gibson, I think they're throwing to Towns in part because they want him to improve and they're trying to expedite the process. It's a hard gig. So with Towns taking on that responsibility all while just not really getting it right away, that's a tough combination of things to throw at him at once. But I do think he's a little bit behind the curve. I think he's going to get it because he's a smart player, and he undoubtedly cares. Not just about what people think of him, what his coaches and teammates think of him, but he cares about how he's perceived around the league, and I think he knows that his defense is being scrutinized, and eventually it's going to sink in, and I think he's going to really work at it, and I think it'll show. It might not happen this year, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, and to, I think that when people look and kind of scrutinize Towns, I'm not sure it's because we, like, just as media, I can't speak for everybody, but I think in general, it's not because people think he's necessarily a bad player, but just because you know his ceiling is so high. You know his ceiling is so high that you just want to see him slowly ebbing towards it, just because you know what kind of potential is right there around the corner. And it's just a matter of getting there and getting the knack to get some of those defensive things down to get to that ceiling. Just because once it all clicks and falls into place for him and he just starts running away with it, I mean, the sky's the limit kind of for this guy because of the amount of things he can do on offense and just his size and speed and his quickness. It's just that kind of, you don't want to hammer away at him too much for the same things over and over again, but at the same time, you know, once he clicks in those things, it's just going to be crazy fun to watch him play basketball because he's going to be one of the best in the NBA.
Yeah, and he's already one of the best centers in the NBA. I think people have softened on him being the best young center or the best current center in the NBA, if only because of the defense. And there are guys like Boogie that are still incredible. Steven Adams is having his best year. I mean, DeAndre Drummond's having his best year. LaMarcus Aldridge is having his best year. A lot of people are really taking a huge step this year. Towns is not. That's the key. I mean, he's still an outstanding offensive player, but he was as a rookie. So his improvement defensively is really what's going to get him back in that conversation.
Well, and too, when you're comparing the growth of Wiggins and Towns, I think that that Wiggins, his bump in production has been helped a lot more by Butler than Towns. Obviously, the whole team is going to be helped by having Butler on it, but just specifically what they do on a basketball court and in a game, it helps Wiggins a lot more to have Butler playing with him than it does Towns and his individual matchups, I would say.
Yeah, no, totally. Wiggins doesn't have to guard the other team's best player. It takes a ton of pressure off of him. And it's probably, frankly, just less effort for Wiggins to not have to worry about guarding your, not that they played them yet, but, you know, the LeBrons of the league, the Warriors have a million good players, so he's going to be tired in those games. But yeah, the best perimeter basketball players, he doesn't have to guard them anymore. It's great.
All right, we are going to get to a couple more Clippers things, and we are going to get to the Editor's Choice segment, where Tim picks out two storylines from around the NBA that you should be paying attention to. But first, fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people that have already downloaded Draft are on there too, playing a real live NBA right now. A real live NBA draft right now, excuse me. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code LOTWOLVES. That's right, playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOTWOLVES. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it, they're even offering listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. If you use the promo code LOTWOLVES and you're listening to Locked On Wolves, you can go right now and download the Draft app. Go on to draft.com if you don't want to use the app, or if you want to do it right from your laptop and use that promo code, get up to $100 back on your money. And then you can come and you can play me. I just set up about 20 minutes ago. I set up a couple draft lobbies for a couple bucks. You can go in. They're the Locked On Timberwolves. You can join right away and then take my money when you draft a better team than I do. So join right now, the Draft app, or go on to draft.com. Alrighty. So kind of wrapping up tonight's matchup against the Clippers. Overall, the production from Jimmy Butler... It's interesting because you know that he has the potential to score those 30-point games, and he's good enough to do it a lot, and he's got the talent there. But is it in the best interest of the overall team to have to lean on him so heavily that he's bailing them out? Or do you want to see them get – is it almost essential to see them get back to that style where Jimmy Butler is really producing more of the offense and he's attributing to getting other players hot with their shot?
I mean, I think Butler, and Jim Peterson said this in the last game when they lost to Memphis, but Butler, I think, has just claimed the alpha dog role. I think he gave Towns and Wiggins a chance to take it. At times, both of them did, but it's clearly Butler, and he's doing what he has to do. Does he have to score 20 points every fourth quarter? No, that's a bad look for the rest of the team, but Butler being the main option, I think, was something that people expected when he got here. His role just kind of appeared to be a little different right away, but this is more the Jimmy Butler that we saw in Chicago. So us seeing it now, it doesn't bother me at all that he's doing what he's doing. It's what I expected when he got here. I just hope that he doesn't feel like he has to do everything on both ends, because it really did feel like that against the Clippers. The team's going to have to pick it up defensively, and Wiggins and Towns and Teague are all going to have to start scoring the ball at a more consistent clip. They've just been a little off lately. I don't expect that to continue, but... they do need to pick it up.
And I know you don't like to do this, so I'm just going to jump to myself and do it. I have the Timberwolves winning. I have them winning 115 to about 104, 105. I believe the spread on my bookie, and I looked at this the other day, so it might have already changed, but I believe it was Wolves by 6. I would be comfortable riding that spread even if it grew to maybe 8 or 10, or if you saw it go the other way, then that works out even better for you. So I would bet on the spread. I might actually throw some money at it, and I would also go straight up money line if you're not comfortable with that. I'm taking the Timberwolves tonight, and I'm taking them by at least 8 to 10 points. I'm comfortable riding that spread out to there. Now, the much-anticipated, highly-awaited Editor's Choice, Tim. Two storylines, a Timberwolves and an NBA storyline from around the NBA. What do you got for us?
Well, last week I did one by Dane Moore. I'm not going to just plug our site every time, even though I should. I will say that Dane and I have both written things in back-to-back days. You can check those out at zonecoverage.com. But as far as the Timberwolves story goes, if you head to my old employer... I'm not an employer. The site I used to write for, A Wolf Among Wolves, it's the best Timberwolves-centric blog on the net by my humble opinion. Andy Grimsrud wrote a piece, and it's really short, it's really sweet, and really to the point. He asks the question, do Tibbs teams really normally stink in the fourth quarter? And he goes back in time and just looks up the numbers, figures out why this team is doing poorly in the fourth quarter, and looks at the old Bulls teams, last year's Wolves team, and checks out how they did in the fourth quarter, looks at their defensive rating and all that other stuff. I'm not going to give it away because I want you to read it, so go to Wolf Among Wolves to check that out. As far as my national story, a gentleman by the name of John Gonzalez wrote a piece at The Ringer.
Gosh, we give them a lot of pub.
What's that?
Gosh, we give them a lot of pub. They should send us some sponsors.
I agree. Bill Simmons should just, you know, partner up with Tom Schreier is what I think should happen.
I love it.
So the article, though, is called What Could Possibly Make the Warriors Unchill? More or less, it's about Steph Curry getting hurt and what that will do to the Warriors going forward. It's got some insights from the team. The guy was clearly in Golden State talking to the Warriors. And he really breaks down what the loss of Steph Curry does to the team. Obviously, they still have three future Hall of Famers in their starting lineup, even without Curry. So by that logic, they should still be okay. Steve Kerr's still one of the best coaches in the league. But you got it. Losing your two-time MVP is tough, man. So it's a good article. Go check it out, theringer.com.
I like it. Go check out both of those. I have one last question for you. Do you go on 2K and see what writers should go and cover what stuff, like LeBron checks out his team, or is that just the LeBron thing?
Say that again. I don't understand your question. I go on 2K.
I'm just making fun of LeBron for going on 2K to figure out lineups with Isaiah Thomas. That was so weird to me.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Okay.
Did you not see that? Okay, on Bleacher Report, he was telling the media apparently that he was checking out Isaiah Thomas, how he fits into the lineup, by playing Isaiah Thomas on the Cavs in 2K.
That's good.
Yeah, instead of using film or something, it's an interesting play. I don't know. We'll see if it works.
I don't know. I thought you were going to ask me a question about Drake, but that's for Saturday.
Jeez, just how? You know what? I'm trying to finish up 22 credits here. I'm being hounded by all kinds of zone coverage staff. It's a tough world for Colton Molesky, I tell you.
Oh man, I know your life is tough.
I know. What a sad story. somebody console me on Twitter, please. For the love of
all. Our finals this week?
I am done with three. I have three more left to go.
Oh,
I have
no
idea why I took 22 credits this semester. It was a terrible idea.
How many do you have next semester?
I have 17.
Oh, jeez, man. All right. Well, good luck to you. That's brutal. I think my last semester I had like 8 credits. Like, I made it so I had nothing to do my last semester.
I have 17 credits, but 3 of them are online and 4 of them are pass fail, I believe. So, because I've been banking those up until the end.
No, those are the best. Those are the best.
So clutch. So clutch. Alrighty. That's it for Tim and I. As this has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.